Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So let it be. My message entitled, God's Great Days. Now, when we refer to day, ordinarily we think of a 24-hour period. Actually, of 23 hours, some 59 minutes and 50-some seconds, I believe it is. Not quite 24 hours in a solar day. But when we talk about the days of renown concerning the day of God, or the days of God, We speak not of 24-hour periods. Now, when we go back to the beginning of the Bible, the Word of God has a great deal to say about days. For example, we read over in the book of Genesis that evening and morning were the first day. We read in the book of Exodus that 6 days are appointed for man to labor, and the seventh a day of rest. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 solar days. I believe that God has certain days upon his calendar that we must pay careful and close attention to. I do not believe that it is possible for us to understand all of the workings of God. But I do believe that God has laid out for us within the framework of his book, the Bible, certain guidelines that will help us to grasp the truth. And if ever there was a need for the truth in the world, it is in the hour in which we live, because this is a day of error and a day of falsehood. I want to speak expressly this evening of 3 of God's great days. First, I shall speak of the day of grace. My, what a day is the day of God's grace. Someone has said that 2 of the greatest words in the Bible are these: 1, grace, and 2, whosoever. And the 2 go together. For you see, it is the grace of God that makes it possible for all of us. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe that the day of grace began when Jesus Christ was dying upon the cross. And I never grow weary of speaking of the cross. I shall never forget in growing up in my own childhood. I suppose if there was one theme that I had preached to me more than any other, it was the cross. You see, the cross is the central point of history. That which transpired on the cross has changed the complexion of nations and people around the world. And the true and ultimate manifestation of God's love for mankind is written in blazing, unmistakably clear letters on Calvary. You remember from the Old Testament, there is a dispensation, a day called a day of law. There was a thundering, a lightning, a voice of God heard from Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai. Thus saith the Lord. And the Decalogue, the 10 statements of the law, came sounding forth. And every one of them frightens us. And every one of them is an indictment against us. Because there has never lived a man who could stand before God and say, I've kept the law. Only one. And his name is Jesus. And the Bible says that he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. And I'm glad it's that way. You remember James says, if a man offends in one point, he is guilty of all. It was an awesome day when, from the summit of Mount Sinai, Moses got the law written by the finger of God on tablets of stone. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. For you see, the law is given to show men that they are sinners. So says Paul in his writings in the book of Romans and in the book of Galatians. And the law says, do and live. And grace says, live and do. Amen. We are not saved by the law. We are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Plus nothing and minus nothing. Before we are saved, we're in darkness. There is no light. We're in a no man's land of fear and frustration. Because the lightning and the hammering and the thundering from Sinai has placed the curse of a righteous God upon us. But wait. From Mount Sinai, it is not far in distance to Mount Calvary. But a wide expanse that is immeasurable took place there. For yonder on Mount Calvary, the Son of God died bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. You remember in the old economy that once every year, only once, and only the high priest, and only on the Day of Atonement, the 10th of Tishrei, the month of October, the high priest went beyond the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And there upon the mercy seat that was overshadowed by the cherubim, he sprinkled the blood of a sacrificial animal and made an atonement for the sins of the people. And when Aaron the high priest had finished his work, he did not turn his back upon the Shekinah glory of God in the mercy seat. He backed out of the most holy place. And you can look around in the most holy place in yonder's dispensation of law, and there is no chair, there is no seat, there's no resting place, which says to us, the work of the law is never done. It's sacrifice today and sacrifice tomorrow and sacrifice next year and on and on and on. But outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the Son of God died, and the Bible says that the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, that veil was torn in two from top to bottom, which says automatically and immediately it's not the work of man, salvation is not, but it's the gift of God, and it was the grace of God that tore that veil that separated God from man in two, and a new and living way was open. So I do not have to go beyond a veil. I do not have to go to a booth or behind a curtain and whisper my sins into the ear of an earthly priest. For Jesus Christ has become my priest, and he has passed into the heavens. And there he makes intercession for me and for you. And Paul says in Hebrews chapter 10, that this man Christ, after he had purged our sins, after he had made sacrifice for our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, saying to us, the work is forever done. There shall be no more sacrificial animals. There shall be no more Calvary crosses. There shall be no more Pilate's hall. There shall be no more crown of thorns. There shall be no more thundering from Sinai. God has been satisfied through the offering of his Son upon the cross, and his blood has cleansed the vilest sinner from that day until this. And the day of grace began with Christ upon the cross. And the day of grace continues till this hour. And it shall continue until the last soul is born into the family of God. Then it shall end. What a day is the day of grace. No wonder Paul writes, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. D.L. Moody said one time, it's a good thing that we're not saved by our works, because when we get to heaven, some people would never let others forget how much they worked to get there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, my friends, unmerited favor, That's what grace is. There was a meeting of a group of preachers many years ago. And there was a difference among some of the appointments. You know, some denominations, they appoint the preacher. God doesn't have anything to do with it. You go here and you go there and you go over there. And you stay here 2 years and you stay there 4 years and then we'll move you on somewhere else. God doesn't stand a chance in an organization like that. When you get rid of me, I don't want anybody appointing somebody. I want the Holy Spirit to lead. And choosing a pastor. That's the way it ought to be. And one young pastor thought that he ought to have the first church in his city. So he stood up and pointed his finger in the bishop's face and said, I demand my rights. And an old preacher that still had the fire of God in him said, young man, sit down. You don't have any rights. If you had your rights, you'd be in hell. And so it is. If we had our just deserts tonight, we would long since have been in hell. Thanks be unto God for his marvelous grace. It is immeasurable grace. It is stupendous. It is fantastic. It is indescribable. It is wonderful. It is marvelous. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Grace plus nothing and minus nothing. A day that began with Christ and ends with his return again. For all the born again ones. What a day. What a day. What a day. Then I speak secondly of a day of gloom. A day of gloom. I don't believe it was a coincidence that Ken Wright read the scripture that he read a moment ago that speaks of that awesome day when Christ shall return and the heavens shall be darkened and the moon and stars shall refuse to give their light. And in the third chapter of Joel, the Bible says there will be multitudes. And that speaks of the great Gentile nations. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. There is a valley in Israel called the valley of Jehoshaphat. And Joel chapter 3 says that God will gather and deal with and judge the nations of earth in the valley of Jehoshaphat. It begins in the north country around Megiddo and comes down west of the city of Jerusalem and wraps around to the south. And joins the valley of Hinnom. When we go into the Revelation, the Bible tells us that the blood of slain men shall flow to the horse's bridle for a space of 200 miles. Measure it in Israel, it's 200 miles from Megiddo to Bozra in the south country. And Joel says, in those days the heavens shall be darkened and the moon and the sun shall be a sackcloth of night and of darkness, and they shall refuse to shine. And the Lord shall go forth out of Zion, and he shall deal righteously with the nations of this earth. But I'm glad that we as born-again believers will not be here for that.
Amen.
Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. And the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he cometh to be glorified in his saints. We're coming with him. Jude says he shall come in tens of thousands of his saints with him. We're coming with him. I read in the Revelation that it will be an awesome day when God wraps up in a day of gloom, a day of darkness, a day of woe, a day of mourning, a day of weeping and wailing. When Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven and shall destroy with the sword of his power the enemies of God. That's an extended day, that day of gloom. I believe it begins following the rapture of the believers with the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. In the 6th chapter of the book of the Revelation, the Bible says that there shall be a great earthquake, and that men, captains and mighty men and bondmen and free men and all the men of the earth shall cry unto the rocks and mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to abide? The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to abide? A day of gloom for the nations of earth will be the day of God's judgment when he comes to crush them. And there shall be a day of gloom, as John speaks about, for the individual. You see, God not only deals with nations, but God deals with individuals. And I read it in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, beginning at verse 11, and John says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, because there was found no room for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, to stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And every man was judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Every man who in this age of grace hears the gospel of redeeming grace and turns a deaf ear to the call of the Holy Spirit, I believe, will be standing before that great white throne. And the voice of the judge will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I, the Lord your God, never knew you." What an awesome hour is the day of gloom. Thank God we're saved from that day of wrath, from that day of awesome tribulation, from that day of darkness and woe. We are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Oh, the day of gloom. And then finally, I shall speak in the third place, of the day of glory. The day of glory. The day for the believer's glory is that day when Jesus Christ shall come again. Paul says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Jesus himself will shout, and accompanying him will be the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The believer, the born again ones, have a day of glory. When we shall be taken to that mansion in the sky, "Let not your heart be troubled," said Jesus. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." This is the day of glory. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. A day of glory. And you know, this earth is going to experience the day of glory. It is now under the curse of Almighty God. Why are there thorns and thistles, the curse of God? Why do dogs bite and lions paw? Because of the curse of sin. Why is it that when you go out to plant a garden or set out a yard, the weeds take over before the grass? That's the curse of sin. Had a whole lot of sin cursing going on around here in the spring because we had a lot of weeds. But God did not create in the beginning the earth to bring forth those thorns and thistles and bear the curse. Oh no. This is a result of sin. And Paul writes over in the book of Romans that even the world of nature groans, waiting to have the curse removed. And one day the lion will be just as harmless as a little kitten. The Bible says in the day of the kingdom of Christ that men shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That nation shall not lift up sword against nation anymore. For war will be erased. And poverty will be erased. And sickness and sorrow, and the earth shall bring forth as God intended, with a curse of sin removed. Just imagine having a 600-pound lion as a pet in the home. Imagine children walking up and handling snakes that will not bite them. That's the way it was intended to be. I wouldn't come now any closer than I would have to come to a snake. Someone said, well, but most snakes won't bother you. A snake is a snake is a snake. And they remind me so much of the devil. And one day the head of that serpent, Satan, shall be crushed. And the curse of sin shall be lifted from off this earth. And God's nation, Israel, and earthly people shall shine in their glory. I read it to you from 2 Peter that this earth shall be dissolved with fire and there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation, a day of glory, a day of glory. The prophet says the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. What a day that's going to be. And all is because of that first word I mentioned tonight, grace. Grace. The father of Dr. Harry Ironside was known for his quoting of the scripture. Dr. Ironside was one of the greatest preachers that this country's ever known. And his daddy was a godly man. And just any time, he might be just sitting around the house or somewhere and just start quoting. And one of his favorite passages was the book of Acts, chapter 10. Peter's vision. When he was up there on the housetop. And you know, he saw the sheep being let down from heaven. And all manner of wild beast and four-footed beast were in that sheet. And you know, Peter learned a great lesson from that vision that day, that God had provided salvation for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. Dr. Ironside's father lay dying, and there came to his mind, there seemed to be for several days before his death, that same passage. And the sheep was let down out of heaven, and on it were all manner of four-footed beasts and the wild beasts of the earth, and that's as far as he could get. And he'd go back and start all over. And there were on that sheet four-footed beasts and wild beasts of all manner of creatures. And finally someone said to him, John, it goes on to say, and all the creeping things of the earth. And a big smile came over his face. And he said, yeah, all the creeping things. That's how I got in. For I'm a good-for-nothing, low-down, creeping thing. But I got in by the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad I'm in tonight. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time worrying about how I got in or who's going to get in. But just the fact that I'm in and you are in and there are neighbors out there that need to be in. Amen. And we're all as creeping worms of the dust of the earth. Amen. But by the grace of God, we can get in. Amen. You can get in tonight by His marvelous grace. God's great days, grace and gloom and glory. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for Thy marvelous grace. Thank Thee that Thou hast provided eternal redemption for all who will call upon the name of the Lord. And we would now ask that the Holy Spirit would direct this message to every heart. May we be glad and grateful for this day of grace that we're in. May we be glad and grateful that we are spared that awful day of gloom. And that we can look forward to that day of glory in Christ Jesus. We pray tonight, if there be those who need to come and trust Him, may they step out tonight. Come to the Savior who died for them. By Thy grace, may they be born into Thy family, new creatures in Christ. And Heavenly Father, should there be those tonight who need to come and just whisper a prayer, some disturbing element, some problem or difficulty, or just a desire to live closer and to walk down the pathway of life more closely with Thee, may they come to pray. If there should be those tonight, Heavenly Father, who should come and unite with this fellowship and be named and numbered among this body of believers, may they come tonight, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And for His sake. In a moment we're going to sing hymn number 235. 235. If God speaks to your heart tonight, if you're lost, come and trust Him. If you are here as a church member and you feel the need of coming for prayer, come and pray. If you are here as one who is outside the confines of this local church, but you feel the Holy Spirit leading you into this fellowship, you come as the Holy Spirit speaks.